Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Earthship. So for all the hitchhikers out here, hang on, hold on tight. Going to take you down some backcountry roads. I'm Roy, be your pilot for the show. We've got Sean, he's our engineer. Unfortunately, our co-pilot Mandy is not here tonight. She actually has one of them things called a job. With us tonight on the air here on the show, we have Miss Darcy Carlson. How are you doing tonight, Darcy?
Wonderful. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Having you on here tonight so that you can talk a little bit about your new CD. Tell us about that.
Killer. Yeah. Actually, I'm at my studio right now wrapping up the last loose ends before I have my pre-release party, which is this coming Saturday. I've been working on this whole thing for about the past 9 months now, and it's finally coming to an end. So really excited to release the record. It's my first solo EP. It's called Release Me. It features seven tracks of, in my opinion, true outlaw country western songs. So I'm really excited to share that with you guys. I think you guys are the first ones to be airing it. Actually, probably the first ones to be listening to it. So I'm really excited about that.
I like my job just for that reason.
All right.
Makes us feel special here. It definitely does.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Now, before doing your solo, you were with another band, the Dolly Rottens, correct?
Yeah, I was with the Dolly Rottens. It was my me and my best girlfriend, Geneva. We did that for about 5 years.
So what prompted the move over to go into something solo? And we don't need dirty details or anything. There's a million different reasons. But
you know, in the music business, it's always the dirty deets.
Oh, yeah.
It was. She's my best friend, and she and I, we truly became musicians together. And, looking back on it, it was a fantastic experience. We were more of a pop punk rock band. And we did really well. We released a record together called Honeymoon's Over. And she has since had a beautiful baby girl who's now 3 years old and is focusing on being a mommy. And of course, mommy time has restrictions. And, me being more of the driver and the gypsy in the crew, I have a hard time slowing down for anybody. So she's focusing on being a mom. I'm focusing on moving forward and focusing on my more country roots, the music that I grew up on. And so that's what sparked this entire project.
Being a driver, you're being overly modest. Let's see. I'm going to do a quick little rundown of who Darcy is for the people out there that don't know. We've been talking for about a year and a half now, and I've been kind of following you and watching. Let's see. Just to give, can I just give people a picture of how I sort of see it?
Yeah, you know what? You go ahead, honey.
I'm going to go right ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm going to start out with some very beautiful tattoos on a majority of her body. Definitely. She likes to shoot guns. I love a girl that shoots guns. She plays with rats, has several of them, snakes, all kinds of other animals, likes fast things. Drop dead gorgeous, definitely. And has definitely a country streak that runs through her that is about as classy, white, trashy as you can get in all the best ways. I listen to her music and I think Patsy Cline, Hank Williams, Webb Pierce, some of the old people like that. What are some of your influences? Who would you name off?
You know what? I can't even hardly talk through the smile on my face that you just got.
I didn't talk about your breasts, though.
Yeah, well, hey, you know what? Thank you, because I think I hear about those puppies about every, 5 minutes.
But in case anybody out there wants to go and look at her Facebook page and check them out and whatnot, they are some very, very fine.
Hey, you know what, Roy? I'm gonna stop you right here because those girls steal the show constantly, and this is about me and my music tonight.
Can anybody hear you sing past them? That's the hard part. You got to sing damn good to sing past those.
Shit, that's true. That's the truth.
So who are some of the people that influenced your music?
Well, I will always say I was lucky enough to I'm the daughter of two of the most amazing parents a girl could ask for. My parents, Mike and Patty, they still live right up the street from where I live in Seattle and White Center. And they are some of the funnest, coolest people. And through raising me, I was introduced to some of the best music that could inspire someone doing the kind of music I'm doing. I have memories of being in my dad's garage, listening to the Allman Brothers and the old Merle Haggard records. And, you know, my favorite to this day that will always remind me of my dad, Poncho and Lefty.
Oh, yeah.
I think I saw my dad drinking more OG Coors to that record than anything. You know, and I have memories of going to the bowling alley when my mom and dad were on bowling league. And, sneaking into the bar and watching my mom drunk singing Patsy Cline Sweet Dreams. You know, it's, they always surrounded me, no matter what it was, with some amazing old school outlaw music. And, you know, they're children of, you know, the 50s, 60s, 70s. They were there. They were there through all of it. And my dad saw tons of amazing bands. God, I listen to his stories of seeing ZZ Top, who, you know, today, now I work with. He saw them when Dusty Hill had a broken leg in Jackpot, Idaho, you know, and I live off those stories and I live off those memories of being with my dad in the garage, peeking around the corner, watching my mom sing in my eyes, you know, the prettiest woman on earth singing the prettiest song I've ever heard. So that is what inspired this record altogether, hands down.
I can see that in listening to it, and even just the names of the tracks and stuff. I listen to this album, and it's pretty timeless. It's really timeless. And we're going to roll into the first song here, and just the name of the song in it. You know, a lot of people, when you think of the term Silver Spoon, they think, you know, someone born with a silver spoon in their hand and whatnot, and, you know, born right into riches and fame and everything. Tell us about that a little bit, your version of Silver Spoon. I think you described it pretty well just now. What's really valuable, but go for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I wrote that song for my dad. I don't know how much he knows that, but every time I get on stage and I'm about to sing that song, I always say, this is for my daddy. And he wrote me a beautiful letter as I graduated high school. And one of the main lines in that letter was, no one will ever hand you a silver spoon. You got to go out there and you got to make it and work hard every day of your life, no matter what it is. You know, you want to work with your hands. You want to work with your mind. You want to work with music, whatever it is, work hard at it. No one's ever going to give you anything. And I wrote this song for him and that conversation stuck with me. I will always remember that letter.
I think that's more valuable than any silver spoon anybody could ever be born with. That's precious stuff.
Absolutely. And, you know, this song does feature Geneva Butler doing harmonies from the Dolly Rottens. I made sure that girl came in the studio with me and at least did one song.
so cool. Yeah. Well, let's cut out to that and listen to it, and cool. We'll see where we go from there.
All right. Sounds good, man.
yourself and follow your gut. No, not everyone's gonna wanna be a friend. As I was told by an honest man, the road you walk can get pretty goddamn lonely. You gotta work real hard and pay your dues, and never trust no man with no silver spoon. Never trust a man.
Very nice, very nice. I want to say here, our engineer over here, Sean, he's normally a metal guy. He really likes his metal music. But I know that's good country, and I've been wanting someone down here with country for a long time, because I'm looking over at him, and he's getting into it.
I'm stomping my foot.
He is. He's stomping his foot. Heads. He didn't notice that his head's going back and forth and stuff, too. So that's good country.
Aw, thank you, guys. Hey, I know, man. I got plenty of crossover fans. You know, like we were talking about the Dollies, you know, plenty of people that expect to hear the punk rock side of me and the rock and roll, you know, music that I've always been playing since I was 12 years old. And I haven't had anybody really have a problem with what I'm doing, which is a good thing. But I try to keep a little bit of that rock and roll edge in it, you know.
So, aside from the CD releases coming up, do you have any tours planned coming up in the near future or anything?
Well, that's what I was talking to you about, Roy. you know my ties with Montana. And, you know, I love a good road trip any day. But I've been wanting to come out again to Montana. I used to live in Missoula and really get around in that state. Head east a little bit, hit up Wyoming. I would love to tour. Of course, winter's approaching us, so I'm going to do as much promo for the record that I can within the next few months. But come spring, once the roads clear up, my plan for 2015 is just to be gone.
Oh, no, the best road trip and the best tour you could possibly do out here is sometime in late November or late January, in between the storms. You're racing the weather, you're hitting the gigs. People have been locked in all winter long. They'll do anything to come out, any excuse whatsoever, and to come out and see a great show, they really appreciate it. That's when you really need to come out here, is when people are just totally desperate and it becomes an adventure then, not a tour. It's an adventure.
Well, I'm all about it too. I mean, I lived in Missoula for 5 years. I'm all about, you know, driving around in the snow and going over those, you know, crazy passes you got from here to, you know, from Seattle to Missoula. I'm down to come out. I got my little Subaru. It's got four-wheel drive. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, I'm basically trying to just release the record, get that done and out of my mind, just because it is so much work. It's overwhelming, and especially when you are doing everything DIY, you know, I'm paying for it. You know, every bartending gig I work, the music goes right back into the money goes right back into the music. And so once that's all said and done, touring is going to be the next step. So I'm pretty sure y'all are going to be seeing me shortly.
I certainly hope so. I definitely do. You mentioned it briefly a little bit ago, your connection with those three guys, you know, the Tres Hombres. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us about that a little bit. In fact, that was the album that I'm an old fart. They'd just come out with that album when I seen them live the first time.
Well, you know, to do that, I'm going to have to do a little bit of this.
I did that during the song break.
Yeah, opening up a Tecate, which I will tell you is one of Billy Gibbons' favorite beers. And I started working with ZZ Top. I was fortunate enough to have met one of my greatest friends, Jamie Chamberlain, who owns Black Dahlia Films. They're a film company, and he works with a lot of national and local artists. We became friends just through the music scene, and I started doing a lot of local acting and modeling for his music videos. And through doing that, he had said, you know, hey, my friend Billy's in town. Would you like to meet us for a beverage? I was, of course, almost peeing my pants in my car, you know, like I will be there in 5 freaking minutes. And, you know, rushed over there, met Billy, had a few beers. You know, I've always said that some of the best things that have ever happened in my life have always sprung from the friends and relationships you meet and keep. And just per habitance, you know, Jamie's been working with ZZ Top for over 5 years. He's done Double Down, their DVD, and he had been hired to do some more work. And he told Billy, hey, let's do a casting call in Houston. And Billy said, you know, I'm down to do that, but what about that blonde tattoo girl in Seattle? And Jamie goes, Darcy? You know, it kind of disbelief, you know, like, really, Darcy? And Billy said, yeah, I want Darcy to do this film work that we want to do for the 2012 Gang of Outlaws tour. And so Jamie called me. I was bartending at Slim's Last Chance, which is one of the best fucking bars in Seattle, Washington. Super cool Texas style roadhouse, you know, a place Billy would totally hang out and has hung out at.
The kind of place where I can do a burnout on my Harley in the bar. Nobody's going to get mad.
Honey, you can do it in the bar with a beer in your hand.
I've been known to do that before.
But yeah, it is one of the coolest bars. And I was bartending there, and I couldn't believe it when I got the call. And 3 days later, I flew out to Atlantic City over on the East Coast and spent 2 weeks touring around, staying on Billy Gibbons' bus and making friends and acting and modeling. And anywhere in the world right now, if you go and see a ZZ Top show, you will see my face. I introduce the band. There's a little spaghetti western strewn about through the whole set on the big screens behind them. And we did a little storyline. And I mean, anywhere in the world, I get messages from people in Germany. I've gotten a message from someone in Australia. I'm everywhere, which is hilarious to me. You know, it almost seems like a dream because they were my heroes as a little girl. I'll never forget the Eliminator album, you know. And I know a lot of people feel the same way. So just to work with those people is an absolute dream. And my good friend Jamie Chamberlain made it all possible. And yeah, it was fucking cool.
And you became the girl.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. It says, it introduces them. It says, featuring Billy Gibbons, Dusty Hill. And then it goes, dun, dun, dun. The girl.
There's so something. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to respond to that or anything. Just
you know what? I still don't know. To me, it's just hilarious. And so many people, you know, they're like, "Wow, you've worked with ZZ Top," and I almost want to go, "Wow, I know," because I just honestly don't even know what to say about it. I mean, I just got back from Puerto Vallarta with Jamie Chamberlain last week. And Billy Gibbons is doing I think it's a little top secret, but he's working on a new little project. And we went down there to kind of dream up some B-lines, B-rolls for that. And, you know, it's crazy working with a legend, you know. And I never know when he's going to want another video. And when he does, you know, I freak out every time, just like it was the first time.
And the thing is, when it comes right down to it and you get to know them, they're just people.
Oh, man. My favorite story of Billy Gibbons is it was the first night I was spending the night on his tour bus. And he, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been on a tour bus, but, you know, as beautiful as they are, and, you know,
They get real small real quick.
Yeah, I'll probably never have one, but those things get real small real quick. It is tight quarters. And we're sitting there, and, you know, I'm a night owl. Billy Gibbons is a total night owl. And he's sitting in there in his pajamas, and I'm sitting there in my pajamas, and we're watching Tora, Tora, Tora.
Oh, I love that movie.
I know. He is a total fan of the black and white movies, and, you know, and I love them, too. I love the old movies. I mean, I love them. And we're sitting there, and, you know, the whole time I'm not even focusing on the movie. I'm sitting right next to Billy watching a freaking movie with him, you know, like in my mind freaking out. He looks over at me, and he goes, "Are you hungry?" And I was like, "Yeah." He was like, "You want me to make you some guacamole?" I was like, "Sure." And I don't know if you guys know about the cult history of Billy Gibbons, but he has a world famous recipe for the BFG guacamole. And I've known about this for a while, and he made me his world famous guacamole. And I ate the entire bowl, and it was just one of those moments of Billy Gibbons just made me a snack.
I'm sitting here with a big smile on my face, and I'm laughing, and I'm just like, the groupie.
You would think, but you know what? He is one of the coolest people. He has one of the most beautiful wives. You know, he's married to Gilligan, who is absolutely gorgeous and absolutely cool. And who he is on stage and who the persona of Billy Gibbons is, it never changes. You know, you sit next to him and he makes you guacamole, and then he tells you about, you know, his trips to Mexico and shit. And every story of his, it's like you're reading a novel. You know, it's so full of description and art, and you can always tell his mind's creating. He's never just sitting there, you know, chilling. He's always creating the next big thing, the next dream. I mean, he is a legend, and for hanging out with him on a tour bus for a few weeks, like, I can tell you, that man is surreal. I've never met someone that was so magical, and he truly is.
That uncomfortable moment of silence on radio air. I gotta do that every now and then. The what's next.
Yeah.
And so, God, I'm just sitting here and I'm thinking about, you know, rolling through, got the chance to listen to the album. Wish I knew it better. We rolled through it before the show, so we're fairly familiar with it. And I'm listening to this. And as I'm listening to it, I'm kind of thinking almost the picture that you created about how you grew up. I'm thinking about things like out on the ranch and listening to my uncle play steel guitar, sitting next to my grandpa while he bangs out honky-tonk on the piano. I'm like 5 years old blowing on a harmonica, and everybody in the valley comes down and they jam. And we jam for like 2 or 3 days. And about once a month I did this, and then going to the Basque weddings and stuff, and, you know, grabbing a bottle of Paisano, 10 years old, sneaking off in a corner with all our friends and drinking and whatnot. And this is the kind of music we listen to.
Hell yeah.
This is it, you know. You know, living down in Cheyenne in the 70s and Cheyenne Frontier days and listening to the music down there and meeting all the stars and stuff down there. You know, this is the kind of music that I grew up with, you know, long before I even discovered what rock and roll was. This is what I was listening to. And I really love it when I hear something like this. It goes so far back into the roots of where it started, you know, where it became what it is today, and just taking it all the way back. And that's a rare thing to have somebody actually do that, you know, and not make it, you know, pop country, you know, ready for, you know, CMT or something like that, because that all sounds the same.
You know, that's one thing that, you know, going from talking about legends like ZZ Top, you know, the rock gods, for what you're saying and what has inspired me to do this record, you know, besides the, you know, the big glitz, the big Hollywood, the big overproduction, not that ZZ Top never had that, you know, you can go back to Trace Ombres and all that shit, and it's badass, but I've been lucky enough because I wasn't raised necessarily to say in a musical family. Yes, they loved music, but I had to take guitar lessons. You know, I didn't. My dad played the guitar, but you know, God bless you, Dad. He ain't the best guitar player. And recently, over the past 2 years, ever since the Dolly's taken a hiatus, I have been absolutely blessed to be surrounded by some of the most amazing grassroots outlaw country and bluegrass artists that you could imagine. And they are exactly what you're talking about. The people that pick up the guitar, pick up the mandolin, pick up the fiddle, pick up the harmonica, and they jam and they bust out these songs that just leave you in damn near tears. And that really came down to, you know, taking my experiences with my family and the way I was raised and then meeting these people. It's been insane. You know, Farmageddon Records, Billy Cook from the 357 String Band, Dan Infecto from Bob Wayne and the Outlaw Carnies. The list goes on. Freaking Dogbite Harris from Heppner, Oregon. These absolute outlaw country artists that are doing this on a daily basis, making nothing but what propels them to the next city. And that is what truly inspires me and has given me a completely different outlook on music itself. You know, coming from the pop country kind of pop punk thing I was doing with the Dollies, you know, it's actually getting out there and, you know, seeing, you know, church in front of you, you know, in an abandoned freaking field in Montana, you know, and this musical church and this musical community. And even to be considered someone that could be lumped into that is an absolute honor. Absolutely.
My goal is going to be when you get out here somewhere along the line, I got to find a barn with a bunch of hay bales and everything and throw a show in it and just have a show in a barn.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And if I could probably sleep in there too, that'd be great.
Because you know, that's, that's what hay lofts are for.
So, exactly.
Sean, what do we got coming up next here?
How dare you?
Oh, yes. How dare you?
Dare you.
How you dare you do all those things and be humble about it too. That's really cool.
Well, you just stood there in the doorway, smiling as I packed up my things. It'd been 2 whole months since I'd seen your face. Far too long telling myself it'd be okay. How dare you make me cry? How dare you hold it on when all you had to say was goodbye? My oh my, you should play me for the fool. Well now the truth now step aside, I'm getting the hell out. Remember that vacation of Vegas?
That's about as classic country as it gets.
Yeah, I think so.
you're gonna hate me for this next statement. That's the classic country that when you play it backwards, you get your woman back, your dog back, your truck back.
Yeah, yeah. In terms of our last conversation on like the OG real deal going to church music, that song is probably not the best representation of that. That is definitely coming from my pop. Get stuck in your head for 5 days, you know, kind of mindset. But I mean, it's still a good song. I love that song. I wrote that song about a true story. So as poppy and maybe annoying as it is, it's a real song, and it's about somebody.
it's fun. I don't think it's annoying at all. I definitely think it's fun.
Yeah, it'll get stuck in your head, though. Just watch.
Oh, yeah, it's going to. I'm going to wake up at 3:30 in the morning, and the song's going to be in my head.
You're going to be hearing that haunting you in your dreams.
I am, definitely. You're going to be lucky if I don't call you just to wake you up to tell you how angry I am with you at 3:30 in the morning for getting that stuck in my head.
Fair enough.
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that at all. So... I guess, where do you go from here? I mean, you want to do the tour and everything. Let's magic wand time. Perfect world. Where are you going to be with all this? Do you want to be rich and famous and at the top of the charts and everything, and everybody wants to know you? Or do you want to just make it and keep having fun and doing what you're doing? Where's the point that you would call this complete success? The album itself, I would say, is success right now.
You know, I think if you talk to any actual true musician or true artist, yeah, we're always going to have a business side to us. You know, yes, we want to make money. Yes, we want to quit our jobs.
Yes, we're tired of eating ramen noodles.
I would love to be able to pay my rent on time. But in a perfect world, it's not about fame, you know. I mean, I got 5,000 friends on Facebook I can't even keep up with. You know, it's not about that. It's about getting out and exposing your art and inspiring people to do what you're doing. And I've always said the happiest moments, the moments where I really have to take a break and breathe and look at what's happening, or when people come to me and they say, you know, oh my God, like I want to be just like you. I want to do what you're doing. I want to sing like you. I want to play guitar like you. And a lot of the times they're young girls. And that's the whole point. You know, I would love to go on the road. I would love to spread my music and my art and my love to other people. When you choose this lifestyle, you know, it is a choice. I actually just wrote a song last night and posted it on my Facebook page. I don't even know what it's called yet, but it's up there. And it's about having to surrender. You know, there's this almost like alternate being inside of you that spews these songs out of nowhere that you're not really in control of, and forces you to do this art. And without, you know, you can numb it down, you know, you could pretend that it ain't there. I could get a 9-to-5 job like I used to do and work real estate and be behind a desk and, you know, make $100,000 a year. But in reality, that little voice will still be there. And whatever voice you want to call that, some people call it God, some people, you know, just call it your soul. To be honest, I don't know what it is, but for me, my goal in the last 5 years has been to really hone in on that and listen to it. And with that, it's inspiring people, going, you know, the less beaten path, focusing my talents and making my God-given talents as great as they can be. And if I could take that on the road within 2015, I would be beyond thrilled. And that to me would be success. You know, being able to quit a 9-to-5 job that I hate and make my talent my job. And, you know, a lot of musicians will tell you, you know, even well-known musicians, you know, it's a feast or famine kind of life. You know, success in music isn't financially, it's not financially driven. Success in music is, it's reaching your own talent. It's seeing yourself achieve your own talent and seeing people enjoy what you do. So if I can do that, that's the success I'm looking for. You know, I ain't looking to get on fucking CMT and compete with, you know, the Miranda Lamberts and Carrie Underwoods of the world. I'm just looking to do my thing and do it well and travel and see the world and make some friends.
Yeah, you could easily do the cookie cutter thing and all your songs would be 3 minutes and 24 seconds long and have the proper number of beats per measure and the timing would be all just right and all of your lyrics would be 7 syllables or less and your song titles would be 7 syllables or less and do all of that stuff and get on CMT and be signed by the major labels and do all of that.
And then there's no soul left in any of it.
Exactly. It's a cookie cutter formula. Yeah. And if people don't believe it, sit down and count the number of beats in a song. Check the timing. Check the lyrics. How many syllables? Yeah. How long is a song? And well, they're all the same.
And you know what, Roy? Honestly, I am a massive perfectionist. I mean, you talk to the people that have worked with me musically, and they're gonna go, they're gonna shake their head when you say, how is it working with Darcy? I get to the grindstone, man. I don't have patience for waiting around. I don't have patience for fucking around. I don't have patience for being drunk. I don't have patience for not doing it right. And God bless the people that work with me. You know, I've been blessed to work with some amazing artists in Seattle. Dan Infecto, who's from Bob Wayne and the Outlaw Carnies and works with many other bands in Seattle, he started this whole recording process with me. And one of the things I have learned from him is there is so much beauty in the rawness of what we do. You know, we don't need to auto-tune. We're not going to go in there with 100 plugins and screw with all your songs.
And yeah, he's going to tell Willie Nelson he needs a new guitar.
Yeah, ain't nobody going to tell me. You know, and I feel the same way. You know, like, yes, I want to sound beautiful. And yes, I want my songs to sound perfect because I am a perfectionist. And it's hard to work with me because I want them perfect. But at the same time, you know, listening to like to these artists that I just spoke with you about, you know, that, you know, Whiskey Dick and the 357 String Band and all these fantastic artists, they ain't about any of that. You know, the beauty of the song and the soul in the song is actually knowing a real person singing it. And I think a lot of that gets lost, you know, in the overly Nashvilleized country music you hear on your local country music station. And that's not what I'm trying to do at all. I'm trying to be, you know, an honest artist. And yeah, you're going to hear flaws in what I do. You know, you're going to hear my inflections.
I think you're going to hear humanity. I think back to when we first met. And we haven't met face to face yet, but when we first got to chatting and stuff and the phone calls that we had and everything, and I look at where you were at then and you were going through some stuff.
Yeah. Always going through some stuff.
You were going through some serious stuff then and making some major life decisions. And, you know, I was privileged enough to be a part of that and be asked for, you know, hey, what do you see type of things? And then seeing where you're at now with putting out this album and everything. And, you know, even I'll be honest, you know, having a record label, and I think any record label owner out there that doesn't say the same thing I'm about to say, if they don't feel the same way, they're full of shit. Being a record label owner, I'm a fan. I'm definitely a fan. I'm a fan of a lot of people and a lot of music and things like that. And I'm definitely a fan of you and have been for a long time and always been intrigued by what you're doing. And like you say, that honesty in it, that honesty in the music. And there's, you know, definitely a humility that goes along with that. And, I've seen you as being a very humble person through this whole process. I mean, yeah, you got to get out and promote. When you get out and promote, that's, you know, shameless self-promotion. And there's some ego in that you got to throw out there and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes right down to it, a good, honest country singer. That's what you are.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, you know, looking back on, you know, like you said, the shameless self-promotion of it, there's so much of that, you know, and I never thought I would be this way, but, you know, I have a following on online, and it's funny in a way, because you are compelling who you truly are, but at the same time, you know, it is fluffy. You know, I fluff it up a lot. And whether it's a, you know, a funny thing or a happy thing or a negative thing or whatever it is, my fans, you know, they follow me. And it's a huge part of what I am online. And they, I have a lot of support online. You know, I raised my GoFundMe campaign. You know, I had about 50 people that made this entire record happen just from being friends online. You know, like, just like you said, you know, we've never met in person, but we've had a relationship, and I value those relationships. And, you know, who you see online, you know, yeah, that's about 80% of who I am. That's
unusual.
Yeah.
I put about 20% of who I am online.
Know me, Roy. My Facebook page is pretty hilarious. And I say it like it is. And
It's a never-ending source of amusement. Watch these ups and downs. It's like riding a wave.
Oh, yeah.
Sean is over here going, yeah, watch your clock here. He's pointing to his wrist and whatnot. Tombstone. How can any – God, a name for a country song, Tombstone, that just screams country. Give me the 15-second rundown on why you called it Tombstone. What was your inspiration for that?
All right. Wrote Tombstone in my living room. I live on Alki Beach. It was a gloomy day. I wanted to write about loss and regret and everything that comes along with losing a part of yourself. And I just watched the movie Tombstone, and that line when he's looking at his feet, Doc, you know, or who is that? He's laying in bed.
Oh, God, it's been so long.
The I'll Be a Huckleberry, that guy.
Yep.
Laying in bed, and he's looking at his feet, and he's dying, and he laughs, you know, and he goes, you know, he laughs about it. And I wanted to write a song about that, you know, looking back on your life and going, Jesus fucking Christ, is this really how it's going to go down? And so that's what this song is about.
You know, looking back on my life, there's been many times I said, are you fucking kidding me? Really?
Yeah,
what's next?
I'm dying and my feet ain't even covered. This is ridiculous.
Yep, exactly. Well, let's hear it and we'll see if everybody else gets that same thing out of it.
I had my way.
get sentimental on that song?
Duh.
Duh. That's the there's a couple of songs out there that some of the artists I've been working with and whatnot that they do that kind of hit me that way, and this is one of them where literally hear this song, what I want to be standing in the middle of a dance floor with a beautiful woman and just being held close and holding her close and moving to the song. It flows really well for me.
Thank you, that's beautiful.
Definitely puts me in the space.
I like that. That's cool. That's cool. I love that song. And it's one of my favorite songs to play live, actually. My drummer, James Squires, he's from Seattle. He's a highly talented artist. He kills it on that song live. And that's kind of one of those, you know, odd rhythm songs where it kind of pushes a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's kind of what the song's about, too. I just love that song.
You know what I really like in it, and all of it's great, but just what really catches me all the way through it is when the piano comes in.
Oh, God, isn't that beautiful?
Oh, yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect.
That's Rob Mitchell. I'm at Rob Mitchell's studio right now. He's a very well-known Seattle keyboardist. He's been in the area for years, and he's been I recorded the whole record here, and that is him on piano, and he's fantastic.
Well, I don't know if Rob's listening or not, and if he's not, you can tell him I said this. Rob, thank you very much for that. Keyboards in the middle of that.
I'll make sure to tell him for sure.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. That was great. You know, the song list of this album in itself is like chapters of a book. And just rolling through of what we chose to play tonight. And, you know, if anybody wants to track back what we played, we start out with Silver Spoon and How Dare You, Tombstone. And probably the next one we're going to roll into is Deathbed. And it does. It flows like chapters in a book. Was that intentional? Is there a journey that you want us to go on here? Because I definitely feel one.
I wanted to make sure that everyone listened to this record realizing I was going on a country journey, heard every change in me in this EP, because I went through a roller coaster moving from punk rock and pop rock to absolute country music. And I wanted them to, like you said, like as of chapters in a book, see maybe how that happened. And, it is a chronological story. When I wrote Release Me, which is the title track to the record, I was heading to Montana. I wrote it with Billy Cook. Montana was a really hard place that I left, and I was heading back there. And we wrote it together in my living room. And then Deathbed, you know, I had a horrible breakup, charged me in to doing this whole musical endeavor. And then every song following that has something to do with moving into what I'm doing. And so, yes, this record is really chapters of my life this past year. And, I mean, fuck, I basically wrote one a month. So it kind of breaks it down to where I'm at today.
And you survived.
Absolutely. And I'm still, you know, like I posted a song last night. You know, I'm already working on my next record, babe.
Oh, awesome. I really am. I'm really proud of you, because I remember when we first talked, God, you were in a point where you're like, oh my God, what's next?
Well, every artist always feels like, oh my God, did I just write the last best song that I'm ever going to write? You know, like, because they come to you so randomly, you know, like you'll get an idea and the idea will float around your head. And then all of a sudden you'll be like, thank God I wrote another one. But you can never tell when that's going to happen. So, yeah, it happens often.
Yeah, yeah. The idea comes, and then it manifests, and then it becomes something. And,
absolutely.
And then,
yeah, this song, Deathbeds, is, though, pretty hilarious. I wrote this for someone, and they don't know I wrote it for them, but it's supposed to be a little comical song. I try to play a little bit of ode to the OG outlaw country women back in the day. And I love this song.
So, yeah, Slim's Last Chance, Saturday night. What time?
No, not Slim's Last Chance.
No, where's that Saturday?
No, I don't. You know what? I worked there for 5 years, and I like I said, I love that place. I think it's the best bar in Seattle. But I no longer play there, and I no longer work there. So As awkward as that may sound, my show this Saturday is at the Underwood Stables, and that's in Fremont, and it's at 7 o'clock.
Any cover on that, or free to get in and just leave by merch?
It's donations suggested, so $10 donations. It's a good place to be. So if you ain't got no money, head up anyway.
Head up anyway. Listen to some great music. What do you got coming up after that? Where are you playing after that? Anything special?
After that, I have an all-girl show with Star Anna and Stacey Jones at the Hard Rock Cafe in Seattle. And then I have a show the weekend of October, I believe it's the 4th and the 5th. I could be wrong on that. You can always check my calendar at DarcyCarlsonMusic.com. But at the Brick, I'll be at the Brick for an entire weekend. That's in Roslyn. And then when I get I'm playing the Macefield Music Festival, which is in Ballard. That's a huge festival, and that's on the 3rd, I believe.
So when's the Hard Rock one?
The 13th, maybe. I'm getting it all backwards.
You get to tell me when that one is. So if I can manage to make it out there the 13th for the Hard Rock, you can get me in?
Absolutely, honey. For this show, babe, you can get into any show you want for the next, let's say, 5 years. How about that?
Only if you come back on again. Next album, you got to be back on. Or if you come to Montana, you got to come on and promote a Montana tour, something like that. Got to get you back on here.
I love you, honey. Hey, we're going to be talking about that shortly, okay?
And just so you know, you have, on the Earthship, officially popped our country music cherry. You're our first country music artist. We're no longer a country virgin on the Earthship.
Woohoo!
Perfect. I love that. Good for you guys.
You got the honors on that. Well, I'm getting the 3-minute warning here, so I'm going to ramble on through our sponsors real quick, like, and you'll see how much time we got left before we hit deathbed up here. So, making the Earthship possible, I'd like to thank Legendary Art Gallery and Tattoo Studio here in Billings, Montana. If you want some great tattoos, go down there and check the guys out, Jason and Cameron. Formerly from Venice Beach, House of Ink, world famous. Yes, they're all the way here in Wyoming in Montana for us. And Wyoming, that's where I first met up with them. Yellowstone Cellars and Winery, come on down Friday night. Got some great music going on. And we got the wine stomp this weekend down there. Check that out. Come down, take shoes off, stomp some wine. As well as Adventure Whitewater, definitely another one of our sponsors. Have a good time in the summer. And Yellowstone Valley Brewing, come on down there. Any night, music every single night from 6 to 8 p.m., best beer around in the area. So what are we down to? We've got a couple minutes left here. So what's the last thing you want to say? What do you want to share with us before we go? Deepest, darkest, fear, secret, I don't know what, fetish, give us something.
I just want to let everyone know to go to my website, DarcyCarlson.com. I list every event there. I have multiple music videos. Add me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/DarcyCarlsonMusic. I would love to come see you at your town. I just need you to let me know where you are. Please come out to my show at the Underwood Stables in Fremont. It's in Seattle, Washington, this Saturday at 7 p.m. It's with Lucky Lawrence and the Souvenirs. If everyone can go to blackdahliafilms.com, check out the fantastic work that Jamie Chamberlain does with ZZ Top, as well as many other local artists. And thank you guys so much for having me. I'm a huge fan of the state, great, beautiful state of Montana. All the local outlaw music that happens in our area, we are so blessed, and I appreciate for you lumping me in on that, and having a country artist on your radio station means the world to me.
Thank you so much, Darcy, and appreciate having you on here tonight. The Earthship is a 10-star records production hosted on mtradio.net, Montana's only Montana-only radio broadcast out of Billings, Montana. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much. Mwah, 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 mwah.
Love you, darling.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.